Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
Our air quality is improving. Yesterday it was code orange, today it's code yellow. I'll show you what that means and why it should keep improving over the weekend.
Police are investigating a string of ATM thefts in Wake County. We're live with what we've learned in the last hour.
Faster, higher, stronger, together. A fitting motto for the Tokyo Olympics. You're looking at a live picture from Tokyo where the opening ceremony wrapped up a short time ago. We will spotlight one local athlete we'll be watching.
Our skies look a little bit hazy this afternoon across our area. The air quality, though, is improving. A good sign there on this Friday. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at how changing winds will affect our air quality this weekend.
Exactly. So, you know, it's pretty normal for us to have hazy conditions during the summer. We can see haze just because we have a lot of moisture in the atmosphere. And those of you who have been here for, you know, more than 10 minutes know that it is very humid in the summertime here. But what we've seen over the last couple of days is smoke from the wildfires out west through central United States and even coming out of Canada. The haze has reduced just a little bit today, but it is still a bit hazy. You can see in Southern Pines, partly cloudy skies. It's actually going to be a nice afternoon, I mean, for this time of year, as well as tomorrow and Sunday. So a pretty good looking weekend. I'll explain more about that coming up in just a few minutes. It is moderate. That's our air quality for today. Yesterday, it was unhealthy for sensitive groups, which includes the very young, the elderly, people with asthma, that sort of thing. So this takes it down a notch. So this is safe enough for most of us to be outside and enjoying what's happening out there. We have the wind that's blowing from the west across Canada and down into North Carolina, and that's what's been transporting the smoke into our area. But watch what happens as we go through time from, say, 3 o'clock this afternoon into the afternoon. Notice how that yellow area begins to push a little closer to the mountains. That's because the wind here at the surface is going to be shifting to northeasterly, eventually southeasterly, and beginning to push some of the smoke out of our area. That begins today and continues over the weekend, but it may only be for the short term. I'll show you why coming up.
The Olympic flame is burning bright in Tokyo after a festive start to the games. Japanese tennis star Naomi Osaka climbed a symbolic Mount Fuji to light the cauldron, which sat in front of a blooming flower. And although families may not be allowed to cheer for athletes in person, one U.S. flag bearer had a loud group of supporters cheering him on half a world away during the opening ceremony. This gym in Florida erupted in applause for Eddie Alvarez and Team USA. His parents, Cuban immigrants, beamed with pride. The USA baseball infielder is also a 2014 Olympic speed skating medalist. Alvarez made history carrying the flag with Team USA's Sue Bird. A 16-year-old from Cary will represent Team USA in the Olympics tomorrow in swimming. Cardinal Gibbons rising senior Claire Curzan is heading in as one of the youngest athletes to compete on the global stage. She races at 6:25 tomorrow morning and will be watching. WRAL's Laura Levine spoke with her coach about the excitement.
17-year-old Claire Curzan has been swimming since she's been 3 years old, and for the past few years, she's been training here at Triangle Aquatic Center. Fine-tuning her strokes, the hard work has paid off, and she's just hours away from putting all of her skills to the test. Check out this video of supporters sending her off. Tomorrow, the Cardinal Gibbons Sr. will compete in the 100-meter butterfly. Back in November, she posted the fastest 100-meter butterfly time in the world, automatically qualifying her for the U.S. national team. Her coach, Bruce Marchanda, says Claire's early success is the result of her hard work here and never giving up. Marchanda has trained the other Olympians as well, and he tells me when the Olympics were postponed last year, she took the year to focus on one day getting to Tokyo.
To be there and be part of it and watch her climb out of the water and come directly over to us and high fives and hugs and to, you know, feel like, okay, I helped her reach her goal is just a huge sense of pride.
Now you can watch Claire make her Olympic debut tomorrow morning. Here's a breakdown of her competition times on your screen. It all begins Saturday at 6:25 a.m., 9:40 p.m., then Sunday at 9:30 at night. And of course, that is our time. Tokyo is 13 hours ahead. WRAL will have full coverage online and on air. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Cary.
We are following Claire Curzan and dozens of other local Olympians. Look for extensive coverage on WRAL News over the coming weeks. That will include The Olympic Zone, a series of half-hour specials that bring you closer to the action, the sights, and the athletes in Tokyo. Olympic Zone starts Saturday night at 7:30 right here on WRAL. Tonight, you can cheer Olympians with North Carolina connections. At 7:30 p.m., Mary Tucker of Pineville, North Carolina, will compete in the 10-meter air rifle women's qualification round. The final will happen at 9:45 p.m. And starting at 10 p.m., a cyclist from Asheville will participate in the men's race.
Other important stories we're following for you. Charges are pending against a driver following a deadly car crash on I-40 near Jones Sausage Road. Sky 5 flew over that scene during our 9 o'clock news on Fox 50. We're told the man who died was riding in the back seat. Several children were also taken to the hospital with minor injuries. It appears the children were not wearing seatbelts. Thieves are targeting ATM machines across Raleigh and Durham, and police are investigating to see if they're all connected. WRL's Joe Fisher is live in Morrisville. And Joe, the method the crooks are using appears to be the same in these incidents.
Jeff, so far we have confirmed three recent incidents in which thieves have used trucks to ram ATM machines in an attempt to get cash out of them. We believe that there are many more incidents, and we're working right now to get those incidents confirmed, including one that happened at this Wells Fargo yesterday morning. You could see where this ATM once stood. We're still working to get details ironed out, but there's a nearby job site, and we've been talking with construction workers here who actually tell me yesterday morning, early in the morning, a thief actually got into one of these excavators at this nearby job site and actually used it to ram into this ATM. And if you walk with me, you can actually see the trail in which that thief actually took down this hill, according to the person here at the job site, right into this ATM. We're still working to get some information about this one from the Durham County Sheriff's Office, but we have video of a couple of other incidents that happened in Raleigh this past weekend. Police there say the first incident happened on Saturday morning on Creedmoor Road. This was at the Coastal Federal Credit Union. The second happened on Sunday, also at the Coastal Credit Union, that one on Wakefield Commons Drive. Police in Raleigh say two stolen trucks were used in those crimes. I did get a chance to speak with a spokesman for the bank this morning. He tells me that a third branch on Page Road in Durham happened back in June. So this keeps on happening. And he says there have been similar crimes that have happened in both South Carolina and Texas.
The thing that we know is common so far is that it's, you know, it's happening in this market and other states as well. And the commonality seems to be they're using stolen trucks.
And you can see right down here on the ground some of the paper and other things that were actually in that machine. We know from Coastal Credit Union that there are not only a bunch of cameras around each of these locations, but also cameras inside and attached to the ATMs. All of that video has been turned over to police, who at this point have not told us of any arrests. Back to you.
All right, Joe Fisher live for us this noon. Pretty brazen acts there. Thank you.
We're waiting to learn the cause of a massive fire that raced through a chicken house in Wendell this morning. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker was at the scene on Lizard Lick Road. The fire was reported around 2 a.m. The house is part of a farm that produces around 16,000 eggs a month. No chickens were inside the building and no one was hurt in the fire. The State Bureau of Investigations is assisting in the investigation of a woman who was found stabbed to death on the side of a busy highway in Vance County. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker was on the ground and Sky 5 was in the air as police taped off exit 220 on I-85 North yesterday afternoon. The sheriff's office says the woman had injuries to her neck and leg.
Michelle McConaughey in the WRAL Live Center. Nearly 2,000 new COVID cases reported today, 1,998. I want to show you this chart here. You can see how the rolling average of new cases are going up. 817 people are in the hospital right now. 132 of those people have been admitted in the past 24 hours. Now, there have been 9,000 cases reported over the past week, over the past 7 days. That's almost double the amount that we saw the week before when we saw 5,400. The Department of Health and Human Services is saying, do not wait to get vaccinated. Back to you.
Thanks, Michelle. Pfizer-BioNTech says the U.S. government has purchased an additional 100 million doses of its COVID-19 vaccine. This brings the total number of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine to be supplied to the U.S. to 500 million. The company is expected to deliver 110 million of the additional doses by the end of the year, and the remaining doses will be delivered no later than the end of April. Wake County is partnering with Southeastern Healthcare of NC and El Centro Hispano to bring vaccines right to your front door. Outreach teams will be in neighborhoods identified as areas with lower vaccination rates. They'll offer the vaccine on the spot, and workers are ready to have conversations about vaccine safety and to answer questions. Overall, about 70% of the eligible population in Wake County has at least one dose, but there are some pockets across the county that show only 30%. People who are homebound or have limited mobility can request at-home vaccination appointments through the Department of Health. Later today, Wake County is hosting a vaccine clinic in the Wilders Grove Shopping Center. That is until 5 p.m. Franklin County Schools not making any changes to its face mask policies for students in the classroom. This announcement comes as the state's mask mandate in schools is set to expire next week. In Cumberland County, year-round students and staff will have to wear face masks when they return on Monday. The district is working on how to apply the new recommendations from the state.
Next at noon, finally a memorial for the people who died at Sandy Hook Elementary nearly 10 years ago. The money set aside for it and where the groundbreaking will take place.
Also, remember those big summer concerts? Where they are returning to the Triangle and the acts that will kick it off.
Plus at 12:30, we asked you about hospital workers needing to be vaccinated for work. We have a live report with your answers.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
After nearly 8 years of discussion and planning, a memorial to the victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting is nearing construction. A groundbreaking ceremony is planned next month near the site where 20 first graders and six educators were killed in Newtown, Connecticut on December 14, 2012. The State Bond Commission is expected to approve $2.5 million for the project today. Officials say construction will be finished before the 10th anniversary next year. A man caught on a doorbell cam video threatening to rape and kill the woman inside is now in police custody. The homeowner posted the video on social media to warn her neighbors. This was in Las Vegas. It was shared by more than 70,000 people. Someone saw the video and was able to identify him for police. The woman told officers she didn't know the man in the video. He's charged with aggravated stalking and coercion.
Big concerts are back at Coastal Credit Union Music Park. Back-to-back shows will bring thousands of people to Walnut Creek starting tonight. WRL's Naya Harden explains how the concert experience has changed.
A lot of people have missed hearing that live music, and today that's all going to change because here at Walnut Creek, they are opening up these gates and they're going to see parking lots full of cars, and that's something they haven't seen in a while. Tonight, Dave Matthews Band will take the stage, and tomorrow, country star Luke Bryan is here. This is what people have missed. Now, there are some safety protocols that Walnut Creek is still following. Only mobile tickets are going to be used. They're going to use a cashless payment system. They're also going to be following CDC mask recommendations, but they're not requiring you to wear a mask. There are also some busy areas that they know a lot of guests will be at here, and so they're going to be checking those to clean those every 30 minutes. Now, the venue also warns about a lot of people coming today, and so they say that when it comes to traffic, it will be heavy, so make sure you plan in advance. Naya Harden, WRAL News, Raleigh.
A stage partially collapsed a day before a music festival was scheduled to begin. The collapse happened at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens, Florida. The stadium is scheduled to host the Rolling Loud Music Festival, featuring artists including ASAP Rocky, Travis Scott, and Post Malone. No one was injured, and there's no word on what caused the collapse.
Jury selection is less than 3 months away in the murder trial of Ahmaud Arbery, and lawyers for the defendants want part of the process closed. The judge did not rule on whether he will allow cameras. Three men are charged in the deadly shooting of Arbery in Brunswick, Georgia, in February of 2020. Defense attorneys claim the father and son chased Arbery because they thought he was a burglar. Animals spotted not far off the coast of North Carolina have some people understandably on edge. Well, here's why. These fins were spotted off the beach on Oak Island. Scientists with OSearch confirmed to WREL these are not sharks, but instead manta rays. Oak Island Water Rescue posted these photos to social media. Even though manta rays are not dangerous, a purple flag flew at the beach to alert people.
People that don't work on the water all the time, when you see something like that, it's very easy to understand how a person could be fooled. You know, it's clear it's a manta.
Good rule of thumb, though. You see a fin, just get out of the water. Experts say even though it doesn't appear they were sharks, look, it's still better to be safe than sorry, and they alerted swimmers.
After more than 100 years, Cleveland's baseball team is changing its name.
Together we stand with all who understand what it means to be born and built from the land. Because this is a city we love and the game we believe in. And together, we are all Cleveland Guardians.
All right, the Indians will be called the Guardians. Major League Baseball made the announcement via Twitter in a video narrated by Tom Hanks. It's the latest change following a national reckoning by teams to permanently drop logos and names considered racist. Tonight, the Carolina Hurricanes will strengthen their ranks. No doubt they have a first-round pick. NHL draft starts at 8 o'clock tonight. They will have to wait just a little bit before they get on the clock. Their first selection comes at pick number 27 in the first round. But in the last day, the Canes added a new pick to their arsenal by trading goalie Alex Nedeljkovic to the Detroit Red Wings. And in return, the team got a third-round pick and a goalie, Jonathan Bernier. And Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. What's ahead for the weekend here as we're all waiting on this Friday?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to start off with a look at our live camera network. It looks pretty out there. We have partly cloudy skies. And even though we are seeing a few of these clouds, I would not expect to see much in terms of rain. We gave it a 20% chance just to sort of cover the bases, pardon the pun. But our chances for showers and thunderstorms today are really minimal. So that'll make it a nice night to be out at the DBAB. It looks like there's some folks already sitting in the stands over there. They're a bit on the early side. Must be there for some special event. It is 82 degrees right now. Temperatures will be in the mid-80s when they throw out the first pitch. And there are fireworks tonight, so it makes it an extra special Friday evening there at the ballpark. In Goldsboro, we're looking at mostly sunny skies, fewer clouds here. It's 82 degrees. It's a little bit on the humid side this afternoon, but still not bad. Once again, 83 degrees. This is a look at Longleaf Golf and Family Club all across the Sandhills, Pinehurst Southern Pines in particular. The World Junior Golf Championship is going on, so I know it's a busy weekend for them. And it looks like the weather is going to be fine. Again, just wanted to point out, you know, we have that code yellow air quality forecast for today. That continues tomorrow, and we may even see that drop down to green on Sunday. A code yellow is pretty typical for us during the summer. We tend to have some hazy conditions. This is something that we're watching. This area of disturbed weather looks like it's continuing to sort of bubble up there. It's a 20% chance of developing in the next 2 days, and a 30% chance in the next 5 days. But in terms of it affecting our part of the country, along the coast of North Carolina, we could see an increased rip current danger. But we also have high pressure. That's going to help to keep us with a pretty nice weekend. It'll suppress our chances for showers and storms. But it may also, by the end of the weekend, start to push that low, if it develops into a tropical system or not, back down toward Florida. And then after that, we have a cold front that's going to be moving in. We'll start to see that front approaching on Monday and Tuesday. That also would help to kick anything tropical off the coast of North Carolina. That's a good chance of bringing us a decent amount of rain, especially on Tuesday. Let's take another look at that. By Monday at 5 o'clock, you can see some scattered showers and thunderstorms. It's going to be a 30% chance for us on Monday, but a much better chance on Tuesday. There could be a little light rain first thing in the morning, and then a good chance of showers and storms during the afternoon. So Tuesday looks like it may be the wettest day of the next 7. We could see a few isolated showers and storms again on Wednesday, but those chances look lower. Today and tomorrow, it's a 20% chance, so you can pretty confidently plan anything outside, just knowing in the back of your mind that there's a very small chance. Sunday looks dry for us, Monday 30, and then Tuesday a 50. We may end up bumping that up a little bit over the weekend. Upper 80s for today and tomorrow. 91 is our normal high, so we're back to that on Sunday and Monday. A little cooler on Tuesday with that good chance for rain, and we're going to talk a little bit more about how much rain we may see coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. As North Carolina debates medical marijuana, some people are getting high on a strain of hemp. its legalities depends on who you ask. New at 5, how it's dividing the state's hemp industry.
Plus, Friday dinner plans. You'll need to watch tonight's restaurant rating report before picking your spots. Learn what businesses redeemed themselves after poor scores and 8-day-old tomatoes. Crocs capitalizing on its return to your wardrobe by suing the companies creating knockoff versions of their shoes. The company's at the center of those lawsuits.
The Radio City Rockettes want to help you high-step it into the holidays. The dancing troupe returns to the stage with iconic numbers after the coronavirus pandemic.
Michelle McConaughey in the WREL Live Center. We have an update to a story we brought you about 15 minutes ago about the woman who was found stabbed to death on the side of I-85 North in Vance County. We now know the name of the man that's charged in her death, Tyquise Johnson. He's from Richmond. He's 20 years old. He was arrested in Dinwiddie. He was on the way back to Richmond. He is now facing 15 charges. He's currently in custody at the Meharon River Regional Jail. Back to you.
Home prices continue to soar as the housing market stays red hot. We'll tell you just how high prices climbed in June and why you might have to wait a bit longer for your pizza from Domino's. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Home prices hit a new high in June. The median price for an existing house last month was $363,300. That's up 23.4% from last June, according to the National Association of Realtors. And while the supply of homes is increasing slightly, inventory is still far lower than normal. The typical home was on the market for just 17 days last month, holding a record low. Crocs is suing Walmart and Hobby Lobby for allegedly copying its popular clogs. The shoemaker says Walmart is selling cheaper versions of the clogs under various names, including Time True and George. Crocs also cites Hobby Lobby's $12 white foam clogs Lady Shoes as an alleged knockoff of its original clog. The allegations were included in 4 patent infringement lawsuits Crocs recently filed against 20 companies. Crocs says copycat products infringe on its trademarks by causing confusion or deceiving consumers. You may be waiting a little longer for your Domino's pizza in some areas. The chain's CEO says average delivery times have, quote, slipped a minute or two in some parts of the U.S. Like other restaurants and fast food chains, Domino's is trying to find workers. It says adding staff should help it cut wait times down to where it needs them to be. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber on the Money Desk.
Thanks, Maribel. Costco is doing an about-face after announcing it would end the senior hours on July 26th. The retailer announced it's reducing them now from 5 days a week to twice a week. Starting Monday, the reserved shopping times at most clubs for senior shoppers, members with disabilities, or immunocompromised people will be 9 to 10 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday. Costco redesigned shopping hours in March of 2020 to help the most vulnerable and at risk for COVID-19. Venmo is rolling out changes to the popular app that focuses on what's happening with your close connections. Privacy became an issue after people were able to locate President Joe Biden's account by scouring friend lists in his network. Now users can opt to make them private and choose not to appear on other people's lists. A card's button plugs in both credit card and debit options, while a dedicated crypto button invites you to start cryptocurrency trading. May take a few weeks for the refreshed Venmo app to reach your device.
Many local healthcare providers will now be required to get the COVID-19 vaccine. At the top of our next half hour, we'll share your thoughts on new mandates meant to keep the public safe.
Plus, combating violent gun crimes, how the government plans to get tough on offenders.
Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
More and more hospital systems are requiring workers to be vaccinated. We wanted to know your thoughts, so we asked and you chimed in. WRAL's Keely Arthur joins us now live from UNC Rex with the response from these folks. Keely, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So first, I want to just hit at some numbers that we just have received. Yesterday, I reported that 75% of Duke Health employees are already vaccinated. At UNC Health right here, it is 72%, and over at Wake Med, it's 80%. Now, these health organizations employ thousands and tens of thousands of people, really. So this requirement will impact thousands of people living in our area. Of course, course, this is drumming up a lot of opinion at the already really controversial vaccine. Here are a few of the respondents from WREL's Your Voice.
Go to the hospital and be cared for, not by a non-vaccinated person, really.
No medical personnel should be required to take the shot to come to work and perform their job. If they're working in the hospital, there's going to be patients coming in that didn't get the shot that's going to expose them to it anyway, and they still have a chance of catching it, even with this so-called vaccine.
So the first one, of course, was for this decision. The last person against. To comment on the last person's point, yes, we know that you can still get COVID-19 even if you're vaccinated, but the statistics show that you are far less likely to get really sick or end up in the hospital. In fact, according to the Department of Health here in North Carolina, about 99% of the cases where people are hospitalized right now, Jeff, those are people that are unvaccinated. We want to talk to more people about how they feel about this huge decision from Duke, UNC, and Wake Med. So please weigh in on WREL's Your Voice. That's up on our website.
Yep, hearing a lot from them right now. Keely Arthur, live for us this noon. Thank you. A North Carolina summer camp is being linked to COVID-19 outbreaks in at least 14 states. Health officials in Transylvania County up in the mountains have confirmed at least 58 cases linked to the camp between June 28th and July 10th. Camp leaders say they've canceled this week's session, and they're now asking campers to get tested for the virus before attending. Officials say they're also working to limit the number of campers. Tonight, a new effort starts in Raleigh to help make Glenwood Avenue safer for passengers. Portions of Glenwood Avenue South and Johnson Street now have zones where passengers can be picked up or dropped off more safely. The Raleigh City Council recently approved the proposal. The zones open tonight from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. and will reopen again Saturday and Sunday nights. Time limit is 10 minutes. Quick pickup for those passengers and drop off as well.
As violent crime rises in cities around the U.S., today top law enforcement leaders will start working on a plan to crack down on gun trafficking. Attorney General Merrick Garland is set to end illegal trafficking with the help of community organizations. He wants to focus on programs that target guns on the local level.
This is a set of tactics aimed at a particular kind of problem, the trafficking of illegal guns into these cities. It is part of our larger initiative, which includes Project Safe Neighborhoods, which was part of a whole earlier program.
Garland will meet with top officials today about his plan in Washington, D.C.
More controversy is brewing over the House commission launched by Speaker Nancy Pelosi to investigate the riot on January 6th. Earlier this week, Pelosi rejected two of the five GOP picks to serve as members on that panel. Now there are reports a former Republican representative from Virginia, Denver Riggleman is his name, may be hired as an outside advisor or staffer on the commission. Riggleman is a former intelligence officer who's been an outspoken critic of former President Donald Trump. Today's the first day on the job for the new U.S. Capitol Police Chief. Tom Manger has spent more than 40 years in law enforcement, serving most recently in the D.C. suburb of Montgomery County, Maryland. He says he is humbled and honored to join U.S. Capitol Police, adding that the challenge of protecting the Capitol and everyone who works there has never been more complex.
The State Department of Health and Human Services is expanding its COVID-19 wastewater surveillance program by nearly doubling the number of sites. Joining us to talk about this program is Virginia Guidry, the branch head of occupational and environmental epidemiology for the state. Virginia, at the beginning of the year, DHHS started testing wastewater samples as part of this new program. Explain to our viewers how this program identifies sites where the virus is spreading.
Wastewater monitoring measures viral particles and samples from wastewater treatment plants to estimate COVID-19 in the whole community. So people who have COVID-19, even if they're asymptomatic or have a mild infection, shed the virus in their feces, and we can measure it in the wastewater. So this is some new science that we're using to help track COVID-19 in North Carolina, especially as testing trends are changing.
So as you've been tracking trends, what have you been learning from the 10 sites that you do have across the state?
Across the spring, in most of our sites, the levels were very low, even non-detect in some cases. Now that we are expanding, we are starting to, and because of changing COVID patterns in the state now, we are starting to pick up increases in the wastewater in communities across the state.
So you have 10 sites and you're going to add on 9 more. How do you select the monitoring sites?
We are looking for a combination of geographic distribution across the state, also areas within the state that have higher social vulnerability and maybe hit harder by COVID. Of course, these are wastewater treatment plants, so it has to be areas that have sewer systems in the state.
And when you get the data from the samples, then what do you do with the data and how do you forward that to the state? And then what do they do with that information?
We're working with CDC to actually analyze the data. And then once we get the results on the trends, we report them back first to the local health department and the wastewater treatment plant from which the samples were collected. And then we coordinate with them if needed on additional messaging, if there's additional testing that's needed, you know, and other public health actions.
All right. An important way to track the spread of COVID. Virginia Guidry, thank you so much for talking with us and sharing your expertise.
Thank you.
A team of researchers is launching a new effort to monitor COVID-19 variants. That team is getting $15 million to lead this surveillance effort. It'll help researchers at different hubs across the state share their data. Eventually, the hope is that the next potential outbreak could be identified quicker.
Another massive internet outage nationwide, the third in 2 months. Still to come, the investments the federal government wants to make to keep it from happening again.
And social media sites, good for connection, not so much for answers about cancer, though. The dangers of relying on social media sites as trusted sources. You can watch WRL News live anytime on WRL.com or the WRL app on your streaming device. Welcome back this noon. A major outage online took down a number of major websites for about an hour yesterday afternoon. We first reported that outage during the noon newscast in the WRL Live Center.
What was feared to be another hack attack turned out to be a failed software update that briefly broke the internet. Lauren Blanchard explains why some in D.C. point to this as a reason for more infrastructure spending.
An internet outage knocking major shipping, travel, and banking sites offline Thursday. Websites including Amazon, Delta, Capital One, and FedEx all went down for about an hour. The content delivery network Akamai says a bug in their software configuration update caused the outages. But before the reason was known, there were immediate fears of a widespread hack. In a statement, the company confirming this was not a result of a cyber attack on the Akamai platform. With the third major internet outage in just 2 months, many fear U.S. infrastructure has not kept up with an increasing reliance on the web.
We know both our energy and our internet grids are not secure. They are not up to date. We need more investment.
Nor are there enough domain name system or DNS providers like Akamai that thousands of online businesses rely on.
If this is 1 hour, imagine if it was 6 hours or 12 hours. These internet outages can actually cause real actions to happen in communities.
The president continues to push for more infrastructure spending, including money for better and more secure internet, especially in rural areas.
What we're doing here is, in this race for the future, it's about connecting Americans, all Americans, rural and urban, to a high-speed internet.
That's where the money should be focused, right? Certainly on hard infrastructure, but broadband, rural broadband, all kinds of revitalization efforts, but this is where the money should be spent.
According to the White House, the bipartisan spending bill would have $65 billion dedicated to broadband infrastructure. In Washington, Lauren Blanchard, Fox News.
An explosion levels a home, and now investigators are searching for a cause. Coming up, how witnesses described that powerful blast.
Plus, it's the video you will be talking about all day. A seagull crashing a birthday celebration. Why the teen says it could have been much worse.
A powerful explosion reduced a home in Minnesota to rubble. And now investigators are trying to figure out what caused the explosion. Witnesses say that structure was on fire and smoke filled the air after the explosion. Some describe the blast as sounding like a sonic boom. No word yet on injuries or fatalities. Firefighters are investigating the cause of a fire at a historic mansion in New Orleans. Authorities believe the mansion on Harmony and St. Charles Avenue belongs to Beyonce and Jay-Z. We're told they acquired it back in 2015. There is no word yet on the extent of that fire or the cause.
It looks like Taylor Swift doesn't want any awards for one of her latest albums. Her record label has pulled Fearless, Taylor's version, from consideration at the Grammys and Country Music Awards. The 2021 album is actually a re-recording of her 2008 album, Fearless. It is the most awarded country album of all time. Her label plans to submit the singer's most recent album, Evermore, to the Grammys. Kanye West unveiled his 10th studio album, Donda, in front of a packed crowd at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. His album was named after his mother, Donda, who died at the age of 58 following plastic surgery complications in 2007. Some of the big names who attended the event were Rick Ross, Khloe Kardashian, and his estranged wife, Kim Kardashian West.
A large new study confirms eating red and processed meats does increase the risk of heart disease. Researchers from Oxford University tracked the diet and health of nearly 1.5 million people, and that was for 30 years they did this. They found each 50 grams of processed meat eaten per day increased the risk of coronary heart disease by 18%. For red meat, heart disease risk increased by 9% for each 50 grams. However, there was no clear link between poultry consumption and heart disease. New research suggests even just a few days of breastfeeding may lower blood pressure in early childhood. A study out of Canada showed at the age of 3, children who were never breastfed had higher blood pressure than those who were nursed for any duration. In fact, breastfed children had lower blood pressure regardless of their body mass index, their mother's health, or if they received other nutrition or foods. A new study finds many social media sites contain incorrect information about cancer treatments. Scientists at a cancer center looked at 200 social media articles that related to breast, prostate, lung, and colorectal cancer. They found 1/3 of the articles contained misinformation, much of which could negatively influence patient outcomes. The researchers also expressed concern about how a patient could distinguish which articles are reliable and which are not.
A hot summer day makes for a good day to get out on the water. At Lake Gaston, Elizabeth, we have our pick of boats.
Absolutely. I love this. This is a look from the Point Restaurant, and there are three lovely pontoon boats. There goes another boat off there in the distance. These people have the right idea, I'll tell you what. Our air quality yesterday was a little bit concerning. It was code orange, and that's concerning for some folks, especially if you're sensitive, very young, very old. But we've dropped it back down to moderate, which is actually pretty typical for this time of year. Anytime you have a lot of moisture in the atmosphere, and just the amount of pollution that we generally see around here can create that moderate level for the summer days. We should see that dropping back down to green, though, as we get into the latter part of the weekend. We take a look at today's highs, looking at 87 in Roxborough, 88 in Raleigh, 90 in Clinton and Fayetteville. And our humidity today isn't terrible, but it's just enough to bump up that heat index just a touch. So it'll feel like 93 in Durham and Raleigh this afternoon, 97 in Fayetteville, 95 in Clinton. It's just a very typical summer day for us. This is a look at the big picture. We had a cold front move through yesterday, and our winds are still lightly coming out of the north. So it's still a little bit of smoke from the wildfires coming in, but not as much as yesterday. This high pressure system is going to block most of the activity from happening in terms of precipitation across our area for the next several days. But eventually, a cold front's going to drop over us early next week and help to bring us our next best chance for showers and thunderstorms. Let's see if we can get that back again. Here's a look at this afternoon, kicking things off at about 2 o'clock, 3, 4, 5 o'clock. You can see it's nice and quiet, so we'll see partly cloudy skies. Very little chance of any thunderstorms popping up later on today. So if you have plans to be outside, I know we're starting to see more concerts around the area. Any outdoor plans look fine for this evening as well as tomorrow and for Sunday too. There is that 20% chance, but again, it's really minimal. Nothing showing up there on Futurecast. Bulls game tonight. It's a fireworks Friday at 6:35 when they throw out the first pitch. 86 degrees, 81 at 8 o'clock, and 10 o'clock, 76 degrees. Our weekend outlook looking good. Of course, 88 today, 88 again tomorrow. A little hotter on Sunday, but still, it's not going to be much above normal. 91 really is our normal high temperature for this time of year. Let's talk about the wind direction because that will affect things for us as we get through the next couple of days. Our wind direction as we get through today, get more northeasterly, then it shifts to southeasterly, and that will help to push any of that leftover smoke toward the mountains and eventually past the mountains as that flow really starts to pick up in intensity coming out of the south. So that should help to really clear things out for us, especially toward the end of the weekend. And then after that, the next event is a cold front that'll bring us our next best chance for rain. Again, it looks pretty quiet for us through Sunday, but Monday we'll end up with 30% chance, and then on Tuesday it'll be much more widespread. We could even start with some rain early Tuesday morning, and it continues into Wednesday.
Elizabeth, thanks. The Tokyo Games are officially underway. Coming up, the heartwarming message behind this animated film. Skateboarding makes its Olympic debut in Tokyo, but what does it take to win gold? We'll show you the tips and tricks, new at 4.
Japan celebrated the Olympic values of hope, peace, and solidarity with a new animated film. Tomorrow's Leaves, it's called. It shows five children from diverse lands who are sent out to find why the annual arrival of leaves carries a message of concern. The children, each of whom has their own strengths and weaknesses, travel to a distant land guided by tiny spirits. They overcame the physical challenges by working together to restore peace in the world. Christmas time's most famous dancing chorus line is ready to kick away the COVID-19 blues. Radio City Rockettes sidelined for the first time ever during the height of last year's coronavirus pandemic, while the dance troupe performed at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and the Christmas tree lighting. The Radio City Rockettes Christmas Spectacular returns from November 5th through January 2nd, and tickets start at $49.
Such precision, always. We'll talk about a foul play. Two teens were celebrating a birthday at a New Jersey amusement park when the seagull decided to crash the party. Literally, the bird flew right into the 13-year-old's face. And look, she just like got it off. They were on the park slingshot ride when she got a real bird's eye view of the bird. Neither the girl nor the bird were injured in the incident. She says she's just glad that it didn't leave anything on her. We'll just leave it at that. Our pet of the day comes to us from SPCA of Wake County. Milo is a 6-year-old neutered male dog weighing just 12 pounds. If you're looking for a perfect lap dog and iconic sidekick, you're looking for Milo. He's cuddly, mellow, loves attention. He's good with all kinds of people, including older kids and seniors. Plus, he gets along with cats and other dogs. Milo is crate trained and house trained, so he is ready to hit the ground running with his new family. Interested adopters can set up an appointment to meet Milo at spcawake.org.
As we wrap things up, we have a look at a few of the headlines we are working on for you today. The Olympic flame is burning bright in the cauldron in Tokyo after a festive start to the games. Basketball player Sue Bird, baseball player Eddie Alvarez led Team USA into the ceremony, and now the games are on. If you missed the opening ceremony, there's an encore presentation. You can watch it live on WRL at 7:30 tonight. Skies still look a bit hazy this afternoon, but the air quality is improving. Today we're under a code yellow alert, less intense than yesterday. Code yellow alerts are not rare in the summertime, and they only affect people who are highly sensitive to pollution. Thieves are targeting ATMs across Raleigh and Durham, and police are investigating to see if they're all connected. We've been able to confirm three recent incidents of ATMs being hit with cars in an attempt to crack them open. We believe there's been even more. Joe Fisher is working to get those details today, and he'll map them all out for us on WRL News at 5.
Thanks for watching us here on Fox 50. We'll continue to follow those developing headlines and more on WRL News when we return at 4.
And you can also get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. And we are your home for Olympic coverage. Olympic zone coverage starts tomorrow night on WRL. 7:30 is the time for those shows every night except Sunday.
Have a great day, everybody.